What's up, everybody? You are listening to Switch Flicks, the podcast where we love and hate movies at the same time. I'm your host, Omar, and I'm here with my favorite number two art thief, Haysom. Haysom, how's it going?
You know, Red Notice.
Yep.
Not a movie about period stains.
Oh my God. The rules of the podcast are simple. Haysom and I review something. One of us will have to love it. One of us will have to hate it. And who does what will be determined by the flip of a coin.
The coin of fate.
The coin of fate?
The ancient artistic coin of fate?
That one. The catch is that at any point in our debate, we can use the switch to change positions. So if you loved it, you now hate it. And if you hated it, you now love it. Spoilers, as always. Today, we're reviewing Red Notice.
Not a movie about period stains.
No, it's not. Let us begin. It's not even a period movie.
Yeah.
Let us begin with our patented one breath synopsis. Here we go. You've shared the synopsis and I shall read it. Red Notice is a 2021 American action comedy film written, directed, and produced by Rawson Marshall Thunberg. Dwayne Johnson, who also served as a producer, stars as an FBI agent who reluctantly teams up with the renowned art thief Ryan Reynolds in order to catch an even more notorious criminal, Gal Gadot. The story starts with good-looking people who need to get a thing and then go get a thing to get another thing while looking good and wearing good clothes that sometimes get messy. They say things that are kind of like dialogue and they say to each other and like go places. And there's a beginning, middle, and kind of with acting, kind of. That's the synopsis.
I mean, I think that was the script.
You can't like make me laugh in the middle of the one breath synopsis. That's cheating.
I am trying to get you to fail at this.
That's an interesting technique.
Yeah, I'm now about to flip the coin of fate. If it lands on heads, you love Red Notice. If it lands on tails, you hate it. Here goes nothing. Heads.
I love it.
You love Red Notice.
I love Red Notice. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, and Gal Gadot, or Gadot, I'm not really sure, it doesn't matter. No. This trifecta has come together at last under the banner of Netflix to deliver to us what quickly became the single most watched show ever made by Netflix, and with good reason. What a fantastic and hilarious experience.
Dwayne Johnson, Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot, or Gadot, all in this movie come together playing themselves on a holiday, and that's what we're watching. This movie is not even a film. It's an excuse for rich people to spend time together, make millions of dollars, and not entertain anybody.
Jealous much? I mean, what is it that you're jealous of? Is it their looks, their wealth, their popularity? I mean, why do you begrudge them that? First of all, Ryan Reynolds is the best actor that can play Ryan Reynolds that I've ever seen. And Dwayne The Rock Johnson is just a pleasure every single time you see him on camera. So to have them together doing this kind of like buddy heist thing is just, it's gold, man.
We have seen them do this so many times.
But not together.
I mean, they did in Hobbs and Shaw. He was Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. They're playing themselves. Ryan Reynolds' shtick is getting so annoying at this point where he's just playing Deadpool over and over again.
Yeah, switch.
Ryan Reynolds is getting even more charming with every passing film. He is perfecting the Deadpool rule. He's perfecting the Deadpool role. Say that the
Deadpool
fast.
He's perfecting the Deadpool role.
Deadpool.
Look, man, whether he's perfecting this Deadpool role or whatever, I mean, he might as well be perfecting a pole dance, okay?
I'd watch that.
Because the fact of the matter is that it's completely lacking of any substance. Fine, it looks good. You get a little bit of entertainment, but then you feel a bit dirty afterwards. You feel a little icky. You're like, ugh, why did I just do that, you know?
That's just you being a highbrow critic. Not everything needs to be these great pieces of art. You know, sometimes you just go to a movie, you watch a movie to be entertained. It's something to watch on television, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Coming from the guy who absolutely loves the Fast and Furious franchise, I'm not surprised. I mean, you really don't seem to care much for substance in movies. All you care about is that something is flashy and has The Rock in it, maybe, and might have, like, you know, or Vin Diesel. If Vin Diesel was in this movie, you'd probably have, you know.
You know, Gal Gadot, she is, you know, one of the alumni of the Fast and Furious.
That's true.
So is The Rock.
That's true. You're okay. Right. See, that's why you're so partial to it, even though it has no substance. Okay, so we've talked about the acting, which was completely atrocious, as you've agreed, because you just said that they're all playing themselves as well. You said that Ryan Reynolds is perfecting the Deadpool role.
Yes.
That's Ryan Reynolds at his Ryan Reynoldsest.
There's nothing wrong with that, right? I think when we go to a movie, we want to be entertained. This movie is entertaining.
It pulls me out of the... Okay, look, if this was an experience that was believable in any way, his constant quips and constant referral to it being a movie pull you right out of it, man. He, like, literally talks about MacGuffins and other, like, you know, script-oriented elements that you're like, okay, well, you know, just completely ruin the magic for me.
But, I mean, this is just the kind of movie that you're supposed to shut your brain off and have a good time. And I think that...
What if you shut your brain off and have a bad time? Because that's what happened. That's what happened. I had a bad time.
That's because, you shut off your heart as well, okay? Okay. You got to keep the heart on.
All right, fine.
The heart on.
You got to keep the heart on?
You got to. Every time you see The Rock, you got to keep your heart on. Okay? That's everybody.
He does make a joke which does land, which is that the back of The Rock's head looks like a penis.
Yes.
And I did appreciate that, I have to say.
Why did you appreciate the penis?
It helped me keep my heart on.
Okay. So you want to.
All right, well, listen, the point of the matter is this. All right. The point of the matter is this. Okay, fine. You've got three actors who, by sheer star power, by sheer fame, you know, are a big draw. Okay, fine. Put that aside. What the hell is this story? It's so manipulated, so fabricated, so it's like literally every single character is literally being pushed in whatever direction that the writers wanted them to go in order to create this, like, you know, this intricate, you know, gotcha situation that was just a total fabrication.
Switch.
And it's like, you know how these eggs that they're going after, right? How they've been fabricated by royalty in Cleopatra's time. They were gifted to Cleopatra by Mark Antony. You know, three perfectly, beautifully crafted eggs, right? Fabricated in the most loving way. That's how this script was fabricated. This is the great thing about this script. It's got so many layers that you understand the level of care and attention that was put into making it a big surprise at the end, that big gotcha moment.
What surprise are you talking about?
That The Rock's character was actually in cahoots with Gal Gadot.
Oh my God. That is right from the moment you see his character.
Surprising, really. And then when that reveal happens, Ryan Reynolds' expression, it's sublime. The sublime is the only word that I can.
Let me stop you there. That reveal can't even be called a reveal because it is so transparent right from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Nobody in the world would be, you know, surprised by that twist. That twist is not even a twist. What? It is not a reveal at all.
I was surprised.
You're an idiot if you were surprised by that.
Right. Look, and then pull it back, all right? Fine, so forget that, you know, the fact that was a genius twist that no one saw coming.
Besides that, switch.
And everybody saw coming. Besides that messy, total, like, you know, non-reveal.
What non-reveal?
The non-reveal of Dwayne The Rock Johnson being in cahoots with Gal Gadot.
Wait, what? He was
in cahoots, yes.
Holy shit.
They not only revealed it, but it was a huge aspect of the last
That movie, act. That twist is such a huge twist that I just got
just
it revealed.
Got it now.
Oh my God, what a huge twist. Okay, massive, amazing.
Right, right. So then, you know, go back and you look at how things evolved to where they got. You know, you've got... Gal Gadot, who's somehow the number one art thief in the world, which seems to be what?
So Dwayne Johnson, Dwayne Johnson was working with Gal Gadot?
Yes.
He is an art thief.
Yes, exactly. Him and Gal Gadot are the bishop.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
You didn't realize that, even after they said it.
Holy shit.
They literally said it to the camera.
What a twist. The Rock is in this movie?
Okay. So listen, The Rock is in this movie, and so is Gal Gadot.
Mind so is Ryan Johnson. Blown.
Ryan Reynolds. Okay. So the point is that the way that this script was written was essentially without any sense of realism whatsoever. So for example, Gal Gadot is manipulating things behind the scenes in order to make Ryan Reynolds and The Rock get caught by Interpol, and The Rock is supposed to be, in this behavioral psychology, whatever, from the FBI, and obviously, he stands out like a sore thumb, like literally like a sore thumb, like a gigantic thumb, like a huge, bald thumb.
It's the kind of joke Ryan Reynolds would make in this movie. It's right? Hilarious what he just said.
Okay, switch.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson has his thumbprints all over this movie. We all know how much he loves quality, how aspirational he is, right? And that's what he's giving.
Have you heard his rap song?
He has a rap song.
It's all about being awesome and,
That's what he is.
It's terrible. It's one of the worst things that I've ever heard.
Right?
Yeah.
And oh, wait, I'm hating it.
I love it.
God damn it, fantastic. I'm so confused. Wait, let me hate this. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and I love it. So his song is absolutely genius.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson looks like a giant thumb up my bum.
Wow.
Because I felt that's what he was doing here. Right. He was violating good taste by making this movie. Gal Gadot, okay? She is such a charming actress, but why does she do movies like this? Fast and Furious, now this. I am waiting for Gadot to do
a good
movie.
Deep cut.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And the script of this film is ridiculous. It is some loosely connected, random set pieces that I feel like this movie was just improvised on the spot.
Genius level. If that was the case, I mean, hats off even more. Chapeau, as the French say.
Don't bring in foreign languages into this to confuse
they end
me.
They end up in France at the end in front of the Louvre or Le Louvre, as the French say.
At the very least, movies like this, they should have fun action set pieces. That's the least that a movie like
this
can
have. But they do have fun action set pieces. First of all, it starts off with this parkour action set piece in the museum, which was so much fun.
This is what... Is this early 2002 for there to be a parkour action sequence
in
a movie?
Plenty of time for physical comedy, like when Ryan Reynolds keeps unclipping and clipping on his tie and all of that stuff. It's just so charming. I mean, really, just so charming, you know?
It is so, like...
And then you've got that scene where they're kind of trying to escape from the prison. And where was it? I guess a Russian prison or something, in some prison. But basically, genius, they end up actually, because Ryan Reynolds is such a genius, he ends up building this rock wall with a loose stone that he can pull out and allow it all to collapse so that they could run, get on the chopper, and then just annihilate, everybody with their machine guns.
That's the other thing about this movie, by the way. So one,
action.
There's people being, there's so much gunshots in this movie, right? But nobody is getting shot. This shows just how toothless this film is. People are shooting guns, like miniguns, everything. Not one person shot. Nobody dies. There are no stakes. There's nothing. Why would I be invested in this film?
I apologize to the audience for my co-host's dark heart and his desire to see people getting murdered.
Well, when I'm watching an action film, I want to see some action.
When was the last time you saw some action, though?
It's been a while since I've seen some action, okay? And that's all I want to see. I want some action.
I understand. And then at the end, you have that whole scene in the Mayan ruins or wherever in Brazil or Argentina, where, you know, the Interpol come bursting in. Man, Interpol keeps bursting. It's awesome. They just keep bursting in at the perfect time in order to just upend everything, you
they
know?
Just want, like, at any time, the scriptwriter is like, okay, we need something. Now they're like, Interpol.
By the way, this is a heist film. This is not primarily an action film. It's primarily a heist film. And that's why it excels at tension. Tension throughout this film is palpable. The tension. Will they? Won't they? You know, yeah. Have they? Had they not?
The
you know,
only heist this movie has...
is that of my heart, which they stole.
Is of my time, which they stole.
And on that note, I feel like we've reached the end of... this debate. Tell me, Haysom, how do you really feel about Red Notice?
I actually kind of enjoyed it.
For shame.
It's not an amazing movie by any measure, but it was one of those things that I just kind of put on TV and I was doing stuff on my laptop, like just surfing the internet and kind of watching
at
the same time.
You didn't watch it with your full attention?
I did not.
Unbelievable.
But as a movie for, you know, that specific purpose, I think it kind of does a good job. And you know what? Why shouldn't we have movies that do that very specific job? I, for one, wish there were more movies I could just kind of have in the background while I was doing other things, you know? So,
wait, so what you're saying is that you like it as a movie that you pay half attention to?
Yes, I think it's a perfectly serviceable half attention film.
Look, I mean, for me, and, you know, I'm not a complicated man. Mm-hmm. You put Rian Johnson in a movie, I'll watch it.
I mean, but this movie didn't put Rian Johnson in a movie.
I mean, Ryan Reynolds. God damn it.
So you didn't watch this movie? I'm very confused what you're talking about.
Not the director, Rian Johnson. The actor, Rian Reynolds.
This is not the first time you've confused the Canadian, during this podcast.
No, it has. It's the second time and once before as well. The point of the matter is that Rian Reynolds is, for me, just... he's so charming and funny that it's very hard for me not to enjoy the films that he's in. And I have no problem with him playing, you know, that same kind of type of character. I know that that's a complaint that, oh, but I don't care. I don't care. And you know what? Dwayne The Rock Johnson, his movies are hit and miss. Absolutely hit and miss. Like, there's some terrible, you know, terrible, terrible stinkers out there. But this one was fun. Why? Because of his back and forth, you know, with Ryan Reynolds. I enjoyed it, you know? Gal Gadot might as well not have been in the movie. She did. For me, she didn't really add anything. But, you know, she was there, you know, and she's a big draw as well. So good. You know, they made got some extra eyeballs mm-hmm. because of it. But her role was not as pronounced. She was kind of in the background. But... yeah. Ryan Reynolds and The Rock together, that's it. I didn't really need much more than that.
I think that was the pitch of the movie.
Exactly.
That was the script of the movie.
Exactly, right?
That's just
they're
what
like,
they went
guys,
to shot. Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds and The Rock together, you know? And hey, throw in Gal Gadot as well. Yeah. Why not, you know? So it would have been hard for it to really fail in my eyes in terms of just being entertained by the charisma, you know, of the two actors. But let's put that aside. Let's look at it as like an actual film.
Yeah.
It's totally contrived.
Yes.
Like completely and utterly contrived. It's nothing nothing will stand scrutiny. Like if you try to break down the plot or like look at how things actually came together, it's completely falls apart, you know? Things had to be set up in a way that you know, so that the dominoes kind of fell.
The heist doesn't make sense.
Nothing
the
makes
plan
sense.
Doesn't
Nothing
make sense.
Sense.
The
Nothing. This is not an airtight film.
Yeah.
And you know what? Who made an airtight film?
Who?
Before? Rian Johnson. Rian Johnson. For right. example, with Looper.
With Looper?
Right?
With Knives Out, yeah.
With Knives Out, right? Rian Johnson.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I've managed to work him into this conversation. Rian Johnson has been known, you know, in some of his movies, to create like airtight films that will stand an incredible amount of scrutiny. That will stand an incredible amount of scrutiny, right? And this is not... This will fall apart at the lightest touch. This is like a souffle.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like a souffle that's fresh out of the oven. Mm. If you poke it, poof.
This movie is more like Ryan Seacrest.
But that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, so that didn't bother me because I'm not sitting there expecting this to be some, you know, high art or some really just incredible script. I just want to be entertained and enjoy the show. So in that sense, it kind of delivered, you know? I enjoyed it, yeah. You know? Am I going to ever refer to it as like a reference point of filmmaking? No.
Yeah.
But in terms of the buddy kind of, you know, relationship between the two and like their charisma, I love that.
I love all buddy cop kind of movies in general, you know, Rush Hour or Lethal Weapon or what. I mean, this isn't to that level, but...
No, it's not at that level, but it's kind of, that's the genre.
The general dynamic of that is always entertaining.
Especially if the characters have that kind of rapport.
Have that chemistry going. And so, you know, inevitably when there's the Red Notice 2, I will watch it and I will have a, you know, fun time when it's in the background. So
I imagine that that I'll do the same thing, you know, as long as they just maintain the things that really worked in this film,
which is
because
just,
nothing else does.
It's just literally just having Ryan Reynolds
and give them stuff to do. You know, just let them bounce off of each other. It's all good. That's all we need. So let me ask you, how many stolen works of art would you give Red Notice?
Like a 7. Give it a 7.
A 7?
Yeah.
That's a very high score.
I'm giving it a 7 as a movie for what it is, you know?
In like, what sense?
As a, if it's something that you want to have in the background and be mildly entertained, then that's a 7.
That's a very low bar, though.
You know? But, I mean, I don't think it's a low bar. It's just a matter of what you're looking for in the day, right?
Right.
Like, not every day do you want something that's like this amazing movie that you want to just sit and you watch, right? And as a matter of fact, on most days, I don't want that.
Right.
Right? On most days,
because it'll take too much. You'll be sitting there and, this isn't, you don't want to dive deep. You just want to be entertained.
Yeah, I just want to be entertained. I just want something there. And not I'm kind of like, I could watch Friends again for the 500th time. Or I could have this going on in the background. And maybe something funny will happen. And on that level, I think it's a 7, you know?
That's an interesting point. And actually, you know, I do, you know, usually do that when it comes to rating a film. So, but the thing is that with this, if I'm going to look at it that way, I'm going to have to compare it to other brilliant buddy cop, you know, buddy heist, buddy whatever, like, you know, 48 Hours or Beverly Hills Cop and you know, any of those like, you know, kind of classics, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd give it a 7. I would go a little lower. I'd give it like a 6.5, right? Not because I didn't like it, but because I'm not going to go back and watch it again. I'm not. I know. Beverly Hills Cop or you know, any of those kind of, you know, classics that have like two comedians that are, or like a straight man and like a kind of a foil and like a funny guy that are bouncing off. I would watch that again in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of those. And I know that I wouldn't care about this again, and that's why I take points out. Was it entertaining when I watched it? Yes, it was. I enjoyed it. I like I said, but the rewatchability of it is quite low as far as I'm concerned.
I barely watched it the first time.
That's okay.
You know,
I didn't fully register, but it did so well.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder what the rewatch numbers are on.
I don't think so. But I think it did well for the same reason
that everybody
just kind of watched it because it was happening.
Probably people will not do a rewatch that often, you know?
It's a screensaver movie.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to put it. Yes, a funny screensaver.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for listening to Switch Flicks. If you loved or hated the show, please do rate, subscribe, and leave some comments. Your support has stolen the fake heart of our souls.